One key agency tracking terror suspects is the subject of a new book, A Hefty History of the MI5, the British Domestic Spy Agency, which is marking its 100th anniversary. This book is the first authorized history of any Western intelligence agency. Allowing an academic to write it and comb through the agency's files has raised some questions in Britain about why the agency's secrets shouldn't be kept secret. NPR's Rob Gifford reports from London.
Oh, all right, so James Bond was MI6, but still, you can't go to the launch of a book about the history of MI5, presided over by a former intelligence chief, and not expect him to say, "Now, listen carefully, 007, or start gunning down rogue journalists with a ballpoint pen." But that, it seems, is in many ways why MI5 has taken the unusual step of allowing an outside historian to trawl through its files. There are just too many myths and too many movies, and indeed too many conspiracy theories about the intelligence agencies, says former MI5 chief Sir Stephen Lander, who commissioned the book.
We thought if we had a history, we could assign the history, all those allegations and stories that have been around, with somebody not the service making a professional judgment about what really happened. And it would be possible not to have to be dragged back in the press or anywhere else to stories about the Wilson plot or whether we investigated John Lennon or studied Mickey Mouse or murdered Hilda Murrells or Shoot to Kill or all the rest. The answer is, read the book.
The book, called The Defense of the Realm, weighing in at more than 1,000 pages, will be published in the United States next month. The man chosen to write it was Christopher Andrew, Professor of History at Cambridge, a university that has provided a large number of senior agents for MI5 in the past, though, as it turned out, unfortunately, many of them were also working for the KGB. Despite MI5 failures during the Cold War, though, the book does paint a broadly positive picture. For instance, although British spies have recently been accused of complicity in the torture of terrorist suspects held abroad, Christopher Andrew says the records show historically that is uncommon.
Beginning with the Second World War, when an MI5 officer walks into a cell where a German agent who has been captured is being beaten up, it stopped. And the reasons are because they believe that torture is wrong, but secondly, because they understand intelligence. And they know that it's not merely a crime, it's a mistake. If you torture somebody, of course they will say anything you want to.
Inevitably, Andrew was not given access to files that might have compromised current operations, but he's not afraid to be critical. He writes that MI5 was slow to see the coming menace of Islamist terrorism. The book says the agency's head in the 1990s, Stella Rimington, had never heard the name Al-Qaeda until a meeting in Washington in 1996. Rimington, the first female head of MI5, says the service has changed dramatically just in the last decade.
Since I left, it's really become primarily a counter-terrorist service. When I was working there, it wasn't. During most of my time there, it was primarily a counter-espionage service during the Cold War. So I think that's changed, and that means that some of their way they have to work has changed. But of course, even in a book like this, which goes up to today, you're not going to read everything.
MI5 failed to stop the London Underground bombings in 2005, but as it settles into its new focus on counter-terrorism, Christopher Andrew quotes current MI5 chief Jonathan Evans, saying that recent successes in disrupting Islamist bomb plots in Britain have had what he calls a chilling effect on the enthusiasm of the plotters. But Andrew says it's too early to tell whether this chilling effect is a short-term fluctuation or a long-term trend. Rob Gifford, NPR News, London.